Get your Bibles and let's go to the Word of God this morning. I'll be in the Gospel of John, chapter number 8 to start. John chapter number 8. And I've tried to get better about not warning people, amen, that the message is going to be a certain way. Because they get all tight. They start flinching. Just relax. I'm going to give you a truth today. And some of it now is strong, but we're going to be in some red letter places today, some things Jesus had to say that the Lord has really, really been dealing with my heart about in recent weeks. And in fact, I've been trying to prepare some thoughts for preaching, and don't even try to take notes today. Just lay your notebook aside. And I want you to listen, mainly because I'm going to preach without an outline. I'm going to give you some truths today from various scriptures and just share my heart with you. I thought we'd be in some different things this morning that we've been working on. And then early this morning, I felt like the Lord nudged my heart. I've not been able, Brother Mark, to get away from this thought that God has been speaking to me about. And so I want to share a few things with you. It's bigger probably than I can get to this morning. And so we'll just see what the Lord does. All right, I'm in John chapter number 8. What a chapter this is in the Word of God. I do well to read it all. I'm not going to. Let's read a few verses beginning in verse number 21. John 8, verse number 21. The Bible said, "Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come." And this is in verse 23, "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." Amen. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Now, I appreciate you standing. You can go ahead and be seated. We're going to pray one more time. Ask the Lord to help us this morning. And again, I don't think I can give you everything today I've been meditating on. But we want to try to mind the Lord. And so I want you to pray this morning. Pray the Lord would open my mind and heart and be able to deliver to your open mind and heart those truths that God would have for us today. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today again for the privilege to enter into the house of the Lord. Our hearts are stirred, Lord, in the Sunday school hour. Lord, listening to truth, and Lord, it expounded. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God and its ministry to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Brother Tim and his labor of study, and Lord, to deliver us those things that have encouraged us and challenged us, and Lord, I pray have changed us in some way today. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching of the Word of God, and Lord, I'm grateful for the call of God upon our life to fulfill, Lord, in this very moment. Lord, you counted us worthy, though we count ourselves unworthy, you counted us worthy, putting us into the ministry, and Lord, you've laid on our hearts some truths today. Lord, you've been working in my life on these things and these thoughts. Lord, we feel unprepared in some ways, Lord, as far as structurally. But Lord, I pray that the way that we preach today, Lord, we understand it will not be in the power of structure. Lord, it'll not be in the power, Lord, of some great hermeneutical way and homiletical way of presentation. But Lord, I pray the truth of the Word of God, Lord, would be resounding in our hearts. Lord, especially of those who are lost today. Lord, I pray the Spirit of the Lord would arrange the atmosphere, that You would do a great, great work in this place. Father, we'll thank You for all that You do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. In John chapter number 8, the Lord is engaged with the Pharisees concerning who that He is. He makes it very clear according to verse number 12, I am the light of the world. And He begins to lay into them, though religious they be, He begins to lay upon them the truths concerning a man's walk in the darkness or his walk in the light. He said again in verse number 12, He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Christ is, in a sense, preaching to them the gospel message and salvation. He is telling them, as He told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, that the light has come into the world. Jesus, according to John 1, is the light. And Christ is plainly declaring in the context of John chapter number 8, that truth Himself, that He is the light of the world, and that if a man is going to be saved and come to God, he must come to the light, that is Jesus Christ. And Christ really, in a sense, is saying, I am your salvation. And there is no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You try to, amen, be saved and come to God any other way, you will remain in the darkness. And my friend, as Christ is teaching to these Pharisees, you will die in your sin. And in dying in your sin, you will be eternally damned to that place. Amen, that awful fiery place that is called hell. Now Christ here, they began to question Him and question the record that He's making of Himself. And basically they called Christ a liar. They said, your record is not true. And Christ said, though I bear record of Myself, you mark it down, My record is true. And He began to take them through the law and how that for something to be true there had to be two witnesses. And Christ said, I've not only witnessed of who I am, but you've heard My Father bear witness of who that I am. And so this is all predicated upon the context of the verses we've read this morning. When Christ said, I go My way and ye shall seek Me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And this would be a lot like what the Lord is going to say to His disciples, these men that have been converted in His earthly ministry in John 14, when He said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And He dealt with them, and He was dealing with the fact they could not go there now, that He proclaimed Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He had to go to Calvary, lay down His life, shed His blood, be buried and raised again, and then you and I, amen, would be able to go to be with Him in the Father's house. But here He's dealing with religious men that are in darkness. He's dealing with men who have not had their sin dealt with. And that Christ is concerned that they're going to die in their sin and be eternally damned. Now they question some things in verse 22. The thought that I'm interested in is when Christ begins to lay into them and lay the axe, my friend, of truth to the root of their problem, here's what He said to them. He said, really what your problem is, that ye are from beneath. And then He makes the contrast to them to Himself. And He said, I am from above. And so what He's saying is, you do not understand Me, and you do not know Me, and you've not embraced Me, and you have not loved Me, as He'll deal with later in John 8. And the reason is they are from beneath, and Christ is from above. And then the Lord made this statement not only about where they were from, but He deals what they are of. Notice what He said. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. And so the Lord says the reason you're going to die in your sin, and the reason you cannot understand me, and the reason you will not embrace me and receive me is that you are of this world. Ye are of this world. And you cannot embrace me and know me and love me yet. In fact, you hate me and reject me and seek my very life. And the reason you do is ye are of this world. And the Lord is pointing out, and He's laying His finger upon what their issue really is. And may I say today what, amen, the difference is in one that is in the light and one that is in the darkness is, my friend, where they are from and who they are of. And you'll never embrace Christ with a carnal and an earthly mind. You'll never embrace Him till you understand where you truly have been from and what you truly are of. Amen. And understand that He is in contrast to that, that He is from above and that He is not of this world. Now, keep that in mind, if you will. Amen. That Christ is not of this world, and that Christ, He said, I am from above. Now, look with me. Hold your place there. And we're going to look at a few scriptures today. And I laid the groundwork. I hope I don't make a mess out of this. But look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This is really, amen, the foundational truths of the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15. And that's the whole foundation of this chapter. And we're going to jump here down toward the end of it. Look with me in verse number 47. In fact, look back just a little bit in verse number 45. The Bible said, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Listen to verse 47. The first man, who is the first man? That is Adam. That is the man who God made a living soul and placed him in the Garden of Eden. And Sister Debbie, there he told it, amen, to tend to the garden. He enjoyed fellowship with God. He lived his life walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day. And he lived his life worshiping God and knowing God and being acquainted with God. And God had given the commandment of all the trees in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, thou mayest not eat. For in the day thou eatest it, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 3 tells us of this first man and the disobedience that he committed against God and God's command, and how that, my friend, he ate of that that God said do not eat. We understand according to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter number 5, and my friend, this first man, Adam, is the one that through his disobedience many have been made unrighteous. That is, all of us are sinners today because of the disobedience of the first man. And Paul is going to lay to the root of the matter, amen, about our nature in relation to the first man. He said the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that is in our lost state,
we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And so the contrast here is made, and we understand from these verses, and Christ is contrasted here to Adam, as the heavenly is to Adam the earthy, and the earthy or the earthly. And we understand that there is an earthly nature that a man and a woman is born with. We understand when we were conceived that we took on the nature of the first man. We was born with the nature of the first man. We lived in, my friend, the nature of the first man. And my friend, that is where, that is a truth that is universal. Amen. That crosses every boundary, every nation, every gender, every race. My friend, of people, we understand today. And my friend, we are all born with the nature of the first man. And Paul is quite clear that that first man nature, it is of the earth, and therefore it is earthy. In other words, the words of Christ in our text, amen, we are of this world. Amen, we are enslaved to its earthly system. Amen, sin has bound us to that as servants of sin. My friend, we are bound to being of this world. Christ is not of this world. He condescended from heaven. Amen, He came from heaven. He came from the Heavenly Father. He, amen, was the one that was in unity, amen, as God in heaven. Amen, and has condescended to you and earth, having come down from above. And that is the truth that is taught throughout the Word of God. Amen, that Christ condescended. Christ came to you on earth. Amen, where did He come from? He came from heaven. And my friend, when Christ said, I am not of this world, He is saying, amen, I am not of its system. I am not of the first man, Adam. Yes, He is 100% man. Amen, through His mother and through the womb by which He was conceived. My friend, his nature, amen, was an heavenly one that was not shackled to this world. Amen, and so Christ said in John 8, amen, ye are from beneath, and ye are of the world, but I am from above, and I am not of this world. Now this morning, if you'll consider this, amen, notice here that as we look in John 8 again, I told you hold your place there and I didn't do it. Amen, but look back there in John chapter number 8. They're going to ask a question to the Lord. Amen, following these statements in verse number 25. He said, then said they unto him, who art thou? If you're not from beneath and you are not of this world, and you say that you are from above, and you say that you are not of this world, who art thou? Amen. Could I paraphrase what they're asking? They're saying, if you're not, amen, if you're from above and you're not of this world, then who are you of and from what are you from? Amen. Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And so what He is saying to them is simply, amen, it doesn't matter if you doubt, if you think I'm lying, if you will not embrace the record that I'm giving you, nothing has changed. Who I said I was from the beginning, that is who I am. I am from above, I am from the Father, and God has sent me, and I am not of this world. And so, hang with me now. You say, man, I don't know where it's going. Hang with me. Amen. The matter at hand, amen, that Christ is dealing with and that even they understand and are trying to combat with Christ is simply this question, who are you of? Who are you of? Now, Christ knows who He is of. And thank God when we examine that in light of the Scripture, amen, we understand who Christ is of, and we understand what He's not of, but the question we want to ask today, amen, to our hearts, amen, I believe the Holy Ghost is impressed on us to deal with this morning is this question to you. Who are you of? Christ said to those Pharisees that day, ye are from beneath and ye are of the world. Christ said, I am not of this world. In other words, he is saying you're either of this world or you are of myself, and I am not of this world. And he's dealing with sinners that have a deep need, that are in jeopardy of dying in their sin. And Christ said the root of the matter is, so long as ye are of this world, you're going to die in your sin, having not believed on me, and you will, amen, pay for that matter of being of this world. Now, what would this mean? Notice with me later on in John chapter number 8. Amen. Let me point out a few verses to you. Amen. Verse number 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, who is he speaking to? He's speaking of them that are of this world. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, notice it now, of sin. Who are you of? Christ said those that are in the business of committing sin, and in the grammatical way that this is worded, amen, whether you look at it in the Greek or even in the English, whosoever committeth sin, whoever commits a sin and continues to commit sin and goes on in the same sin, Jesus said, ye are of the world. And the reason Christ knew they were of the world, beyond the fact that, amen, he was God, is that he is examining their life, and he said, ye are of that crowd who are the servants of sin. They do not have the ability to say no to sin. Come on now. And I say that's why our world's in the shape that it's in today. We're living in a world that's so upside down and inside out. My friend, they have become at an all-time level of the servants of sin. Amen. And Jesus said in the last days, amen, that the days would look like the days of Noah, and that they would look like the days of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And buddy, I'm telling you, we are in that day, and we are in that time, and in that hour, amen, as a reflection of the last days. Our men, they're not just sinning, they don't just commit a sin. Amen, but they have become the servants of sin. Jesus is saying it's not a stretch, and it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out the ones that are of this world are the ones who are the servants of sin. Amen, amen. Are you of this world? Who are you of? Well, you know, we all struggle with sin, and the Bible's clear there are sins and weights and sins that easily beset us. But the Bible said that we're to lay those aside. And Christ is saying, amen, I say unto you, ye that are of the world, ye that are from beneath, the reason that you're in jeopardy of dying in your sin and entering eternal judgment is that ye are the servants of sin. Amen. Paul would deal with this in the book of Romans, chapter number 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We go on throughout the entirety of that chapter, began to write to those believers saying, amen, God did not give you salvation so you would have a license to stay in sin. Oh no, in fact, Paul said when you got saved, amen, that you receive that resurrection power of Christ, and in salvation a man receives newness of life, amen. And Paul would say, yield yourselves, amen, as servants of the Lord, servants to obey, servants that live in obedience, servants that, my friend, are following God, amen. He said, whosoever you obey, amen, that's the one you made yourself servant to, amen, whether it be to sin or whether it be to righteousness. And then he ended Romans chapter number 6 in verse 23, and he said, the wages of sin is death. You stay the servant of sin, it is evidence that ye are of this world. Amen. Notice he goes a step further, and I don't think he's trying to insult them, but he did. He said in verse number 44, y'all with me, say amen. Ye are of your father, the devil. Boy, you talk about an indictment. Jesus said, ye are from beneath. Ye are of this world. And one of the ways we know that is your relationship to sin. You're the servants of sin. And now he says, ye are the sons of the devil. The devil's called the god of what? This world. The prince of the power of the air. What Jesus is saying, that you're of your father, the devil. You're of the world, and that shows by a fact that you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Jesus said the shape your life is spiritually is evidence you belong to Satan. You do what you do because your daddy influences you to do it. Hang with me, it gets better. I promise, I told you it's going to be strong. Why is it that, my friend, our world is in the shape that it's in? Why is it that many people's lives are in the shape that they're in? My friend, the god of this world, that, amen, who is the father of so many today, amen, the adversary of God, that great enemy of mankind, that one who hates you and hate, and yet spiritually has made himself, as it were, our father. He is that authority, my friend, in the life of a sinner, that Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and the less of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh of nay, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen. In other words, Christ is saved. Amen. Your life's in the same shape that the devil's and the devil got into, and he's led you down a long road, and he's led you down a life of murderer, and he led you down a life of lies, and he's led you down a life of untruth, and he's led you down a life of false religion, and he's led you down a life of sin and of lust and of fleshly living. Ye are of the world, ye are from beneath. Amen. It's evidence as the servants of sin. It's evidence as you are the sons of Satan. Who are you of? Don't forget now, he is writing to those that on the outside look pretty good. He is writing to those that, he is speaking to those, not necessarily, even though it would be true. Amen. He's not in this context, amen, dealing with the harlots and the drunkards and the thieves and the insurrectionists. He is dealing with Pharisees. He is dealing with those that have washed the outside, that have cleaned up the outside. And Jesus is saying, I know what's in your heart. I know what you do in secret. I know what goes on in the confines of your mind. And what nobody else knows, God knows it. And even right down to your very attitude and your very spirit and your very actions, ye are of this world. We're dealing with a generation, my friend, is of this world. It's why America's in the shape she's in. American or godly foundation. Amen. I know all our founding fathers weren't Christians. Amen. But at least they, amen, at least they did have some kind of reverence for the light. At least in those days there was a measure of respect and fear for the Word of God and the things of God. And yet, my friend, over these years of our nation, of our history, there's been more darkness brought in. There's been a greater rejection of the light and of the truth and of the gospel. Amen. To the point now that if you are an old-time child of God, if you are an old-time Bible-thumping believer, my friend, you are the enemy and you are the one that is looked at as the problem. Amen. Why is that? It is because, amen, there's a crowd that, amen, is of this world. They are servants of sin. Amen. And the fact is, amen, we were born there, but thank God I was born again out of that, amen, and made of Christ. Amen. That is the whole point of Christ's message in John 8. It said, amen, you is born of this world. You is born from beneath. It doesn't matter that Abraham is of those seed line and lineage that you've come from. He is telling them you must be born again. Amen. You must be saved. Amen. There must be a change made in your life. Who are you of? Who are you of? Amen. This is something that I have found in meditating on this is huge in the Word of God. Amen. Let me say this. Amen. Look with me over a few pages in John 18. In John 18, Jesus is standing there before Pilate. He's been delivered unto Pilate by the chief priests and Pharisees and that crowd he just blistered in John 8. Pilate answered in verse 35, "Am I a Jew, thine own nation, and chief priests have delivered thee unto me? What hast thou done?" Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." My kingdom is not of this world. In other words, what he's saying is, a reason they've delivered me to you is that they are of this world. And if I was of this world, they'd have gladly embraced me. They would embrace what I'd have brought and embrace my miracles when I began to speak truth to them. And I began to deliver them the truth of who I was. Amen. The reason they brought me to you is that my kingdom is not of this world. And I say today, I'm glad, amen, that Christ's kingdom is not of this world. I'd have left you and I on the outside looking in. My friend, His kingdom is a spiritual one. His kingdom today, in fact, amen, one day it will be an earthly one. Notice what He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants faith and ask you not be delivered to the Jews. But now is My kingdom not from thence?" Right now, Pilate, I've been sent on a heavenly mission. Now make no bones about it, one of these days He's coming back on a white horse and a rod of iron in His hand. Amen. And His kingdom will be an earthly one as He rules and reigns. Amen. From the throne of David. Amen. The law of God will be the gate. Amen. And Jesus will rule and reign. Amen. For 1,000 years. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's going to be a wondrous time. Amen. And I dare say this world won't like that either. Amen. They'll beat their weapons into plowshares. Yeah. Amen. My friend, they won't be one idol in the land. And anybody who disobeys and rebels, amen, will be thrust through with the sword on the spot. Amen, what a day of righteousness that will be. Amen, when the King of peace and righteousness, amen, rules from an earthly throne. But Christ testified to Pilate, my kingdom now is not of this world. Amen. Boy, I'm glad it's not of this world. Amen. That means His kingdom and those that are in His kingdom are completely different from those that are of this world. Amen. They don't fit into the world. They don't talk like the world. They don't think like the world. They don't go the honky-tonks the world goes to. Come on now. Amen. I feel a little Billy Mitchell spirit rising up in me right now. Amen. Amen. Listen, they don't have the same dancing foot. They don't have the same drinking lips. They don't have the same cursing tongue. They don't have the same wicked, adulterous, vile, lascivious ways about them. Amen. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Amen. I am not of this world. And those that enter my kingdom, they are not of this world. How do we know that? Amen. I'm glad you asked. I ain't got time to preach it all. Amen. Look with me back one chapter, John 17. Are y'all listening today? How we doing? How we doing? You say, ain't no outline. I know. I told you they wasn't going to be. And I would apologize for it other than God said, start on this. So I'm starting on it. John 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ. Oh, watch it now. Amen. John 17. And look with me in verse number 14. I have given them thy word. Christ is praying to his Father about his disciples. He said, I have given them thy word. Amen. You remember the day Christ gave you the word of God? You remember the day you heard the word of God for the first time? You remember the day the word of God resounded in your heart? And it was more than a preacher up screaming his lungs out. It was more than some leather lung man of God. Amen. That you felt like was trying to browbeat you. And somewhere down on the inside, amen, the voice of Christ began to speak and began to take the word of God and began to apply it to your life and apply it to where you were with God. And that friend began to speak to you to that, amen, through that word in a very real and a very personal way. Amen. You know what Christ said? He said, Father, I have given them thy word. Hallelujah. What was the effect of this word? And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Everybody look here. I know Christ lived a perfect life, but when Christ saves people, they're no more of this world then he was not of this world. You see, we've raised a generation, even in our fundamental, so-called fundamental Baptist churches, that say, well, you can be saved and still be of the world. Jesus said, they're no more of this world, even as I am not of this world. And if you're not of the world and to that degree, guess what? The world's going to hate you. Say, how do I know if I'm of this world or not? They any hate being directed toward you? Ain't it amazing how, amen, ain't it amazing how folk can get around people take the name of the Lord in vain? get around people who talk certain ways and innuendo and get around people that, my friend, are just outright wicked people, and they love you. Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. The word made such a difference in their life. The word was embraced to a degree in their life that they not only got saved, their position not only changed, but their life changed in the world that once loved them. That world that they were once of. Amen. They had no problem with the things that were in the world. And they talked earthly and thanked John the Baptist. Amen. Hold your place there and let me just read this to you. Amen. Verse number John 3:30. John the Baptist said, he that cometh from above is above all. That's Christ. He said, he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. In other words, that there are certain people, and they may even seem to be religious. But all they can talk about is the latest movie they watched. All they can talk about is politics. All they can talk about is, amen, carnal, earthly realm. You want to talk to them about their children and grandchildren and the weather and their hobby and all of those things. They have no problem speaking the earthly. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with speaking about the earth. But John the Baptist is saying, those that are of this earth, the only thing they can talk about is worldly things. You bring a scripture verse up to them, all of a sudden they got to go. You try to talk about what God's doing in your life, all of a sudden they want to change the subject. Come on now. John the Baptist said, amen, the one who came down from above, amen, he's heavenly, but those that are of the earth, earthly, amen, they speak of the earthly. Jesus said in prayer, John 17, I've given them thy word. That word lodged so deep in their heart, they wouldn't compromise for nobody. They paid the price by the world turning against them. Those who are of the world turning on them, spewing out their hatred against them because of the saving grace upon their life and the word of God they fell in love with. Amen. Hang with me now. John 17. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Father, don't take them out of the world. Speaking of physically. You ever wonder, man, why are we even in this bunch of mess? Because he wants some light left here. It's because he wants the gospel preached. It's because he wants you and I to live lives of contrast to those that are of the world and from beneath and in the dark, that we would live lives that, my friend, we are of the kingdom of Christ. I know what they say. Amen. We don't really matter how we live, and we all got different ways of doing it. No, we don't. We got a book. Tells you and I how to live. We got a word from God. That word ain't changed. Amen. I'm going to tell you what all the compromise in the realms of religion are, what they show. They show who people's really of. That's right, Brother Gerald. He said, I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world. He said, but that thou, watch it now, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're in the world. Father, there's, and buddy, I'm telling you, there's so much evil all around. Well, preacher, we're just living in bad days and we got to be understanding folk getting caught up in evil. Show me that in the Bible. Jesus said, Father, I am praying that you would supply them with every measure of grace that they need to be sheltered, protected, and abstain from the evil that is in this world. You make excuses for, we can make excuses for ourselves and for others. I'm telling you, if you're a child of God and you're not of this world, Jesus said, Father, don't take them out, leave them there so they can be a light. Lord, make sure that the evil don't touch them. Amen. How we doing? Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Where does this change come from? But Mark, you think that's a good question? I've been preaching about 45 minutes now. You think that's a good question to answer here to close? If Christ is saying of those that He has given His Word to, they've embraced His Word, they've believed on Him, they have experienced a change of life, and it's evidence in that the world they once were of and the world that once loved them, that now that same world hates them. Where does that change come from? How does somebody leave being of the world to being of the kingdom of Christ? Look with me in John 15. Hallelujah. John 15 is another one of them pinnacle passages of the Word of God. Amen. John 15. And look with me here if you will. Amen. Let's look in verse number 18. If the world hate you. It's amazing that comes on the heels of Christ saying, these things I command you that you love one another. Amen. The ones we used to hate, we now love, and the ones who used to love us now hate us. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Listen close to verse number 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world. Oh, listen to how this happened. But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Amen. In other words, Brother Larry, amen, what Jesus said is, amen, if you was of the world as you once were, you'd be loved of the world. Amen, because you were of His home. Amen, but He said there's a day in your life and a call rang out calling you by name. Amen, I called you. Hey, I came to where you were. Amen, I began to deal with you in your condition. Amen, you were in your sins and you was in jeopardy of dying in your sin, the servant of sin and a son and child of the devil. Amen, but I came to where you were. Amen, and oh, you was living it up and you loved darkness rather than light because your deeds were evil. But I came to where you were and I called you by name, and somewhere down in the recesses and hallways of your heart, you heard that call and you turned in your heart, amen, under the call and under conviction, and you turned to me, amen, and you began to make, amen, you began to make repentance of your sin, and you began to exercise the faith that I gave you, and I chose you out of the world. That ain't a Calvinist verse. That is a Bible salvation verse. Yes, you had a choice, but He had a choice. Thank God His choice is, all that come unto me I will in no wise cast out. He's already made the choice and He'd save every sinner that would hear the call. He done made the choice. He would say, amen, all those that are of this world, amen, that would get sick in the world and get sick in their sin and get sick of living for the devil, and my friend, turn by faith of the only one who can save them, and one who saved said, I am from above. I am not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. I gave them my word that if you'll come to that word, amen, it'll change your life and save you. How do you know, preacher, you're not of this world? Because he chose me. I said, God won't choose me. You didn't get that out of the Bible. You may have got that from some man of God who confused you, but you didn't get that out of the Bible. Preacher, I think maybe I've sinned away my day of grace. The fact you'd even talk about that shows me you've not. You sin away your day of grace, he reprobates your mind, and you are eternally damned with no kind of conscience for the things of God, period. Who are you of? Who are you of? Are you saved? Are you truly born again today? Born not of the will of men. Born not of the will of the flesh. John 1, but born of the will of God. You say, how do I get to the place where I'm not of this world? How do I experience that? How do I become a citizen that belongs to that kingdom of Christ that's not of this world? You got to be born into it. Or more accurately, you've got to be born again into it. Amen. Who are you of? Who are you of? Who you're of will be born out in time. I'm not going to preach it this morning. I may pick this back up. I don't know when. I'm telling you, if you've seen what I was preaching off of, you'd go, there ain't no way that man could preach like he's preaching this morning. I ain't saying I'm preaching good, but you look what I got wrote down up there, you'd say, there ain't no way. I'm telling you, God's got me preaching this today. This truth so settled in John the Beloved's heart, it is amazing in the book of 1 John how many times he dealt with who people were of. You say, preacher, you said it bears out over time. Yes, it bears out in your continuance. John the Beloved in 1 John 2 begins to talk about all that is in the world. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He said all these is what's in the world. Then he began to write, say, little children. He said, we're in the last time. How do we know that? He said, there's Antichrist springing up everywhere. People that are anti-Christ. Where did they come from? He tells you there in, I believe maybe it's verse 18, 1 John 2:18. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Here's what John said, Maddie. Here's what John said. He said, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. See, who you're of bears out over time. That's what John said. John said, there's no doubt about it. He said, preacher, you saying Christians can't struggle? You know me better than that. We struggle. I struggle. I've struggled more in the last 10 months than I've probably ever struggled in my Christian life, just living what Tim taught this morning. Pressing, pressing, pressing. Amen. Do you know every time I've wanted to throw in the towel, Gerald, there's been something that says you need to continue on. If you quit, where are you going to go? I can't go back to the ones who hate me now. I done made too many stands and convictions. They ain't going to have me back.
And at the end of the day, there's nothing to go back to. And I got saved, thank God. And I pray I never try to build them back. The day I got saved, Holy Ghost burned my bridges, buddy. I'm not of that anymore, Brother Mike. I'm not of that. And that don't mean Christians can't struggle with living in this world and the pull and the pressure. But at the end of the day, you've got to ask yourself the question, who am I of? Do you get more joy out of watching something filthy Hollywood's put out than you do sitting in an old-fashioned church hearing a message like this? Might be because you of who you're of. Do you get more entertainment out of riding down the road, listening to the music that is, by the way, of the world, than you do hearing a choir that maybe don't hit every note just right and get it all just toned in just right, but is singing about, I know I'm saved. And when He is on the cross, I was on His mind. It might have something to do with who you're of. I'm not saying we don't struggle at times. I'm just asking, who are you of? If you know you're saved today, you know you're of that kingdom of Christ. It's not of this world. Can I tell you today, and I'm done. Come on, Sister Candy. Lord, have mercy. Can I remind you, and I know I'm a red-blooded, red, white, and blue flag-waving American. It's what I am. But can I remind you today, if you're saved, this world ain't your home. I love America. I love our land. And I believe we ought to make stands, and we ought to, amen, we ought to do everything we can to fight for our country and honor our heritage and our foundation. Can I remind you this morning, children of God, there's a better country than America. There is a better country. Now, far as present day, this is about as good as I've seen there is. But there's still a better country than this. Don't live for this world. Don't get so caught up. No man, Paul said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Don't get so of this world, don't get so minded of this world that you forget we're only here for a little while. Amen. That's right. Amen. Don't matter. It really, and I know, amen, I'm going to get probably crucified. That's all right. I understand it does matter to agree who's in charge. But at the end of the day, Christ is still on the throne. Christ's kingdom is still alive and well and thriving and moving upward than it's ever been. There ain't nothing this world and those that are of this world can do about it. Amen. All right, I'm done. Now you say, and somebody asked me after I preached some time ago, said, You talking about somebody? Said, man, I ain't talking about nobody. I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching to those that are here. Who are you of? If you can't answer, I'm of Him. I'm of Him. Buddy, I tell you all to listen for the call today. You ought to receive the word He's tried to give you. You ought to come be saved. Let's stand together. Amen. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Heavenly Father,